It's 88.5 KCSN, Sky Daniels. Joined today by someone who was actually the first professional interview I ever did in my life, and some might say the last, Nils Lofgren.
Hey, Sky, I did not know that.
That's like back in Youngstown, Ohio.
It's been so long, and we still kind of look like ourselves.
That's right.
We recognized each other.
That's
anyway,
right.
That's really a good thing.
And it's great to have Nils here. You know, the story of Nils Lofgren, for those of you who don't know, originally born in Chicago, would move to the D.C. area as a child and start to perform. And Neil Young would ask, I believe you were 17.
Yeah.
And you moved out here for a while, right? When you and Tommy...
Well, my band Grin had just been playing a while. We got to be a good local band with originals. We were going to L.A. to look for a record deal. We struck out in New York. And because I didn't know anything about the music industry, I snuck backstage wherever I could. And, of course, the 60s was the greatest, you know, combination of dozens and dozens of great shows coming through every town. And I was lucky enough, when I snuck back at the cellar door on Neil Young, he gave me his guitar, let me sing for him, bought me in a cheeseburger and a Coke, because drinking age was 18. I was 17 at the time, and I watched four Crazy Horse shows over a weekend. He was wonderful, and he said, look, when you get to L.A., look me up. And true to his word, when I got there, long story short, he turned us on to David Briggs, who became our mentor, and I moved into David's home. And a lot of ups and downs in early, the late 60s here in L.A. But for the most part, I was in and out of L.A. for 25 years, and now I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona, with my West Orange, Jersey girl wife, Amy, for 18 years. And I'm just thrilled after all these years, starting really with Neil Young and David Briggs and my band Grin, I get to put together all this great old music. But yeah, I've got a long history here in L.A.
It's a fascinating story about the new box set, Face the Music. It's a 9-CD, 1-DVD set, which rightfully has allowed Nils to put music back into the marketplace. You know, long selection process. I'm really interested in you know, rock star walks into a record company and says, yeah, let's do a deal. Put out everything of mine all at once. How did this happen?
Well, you know what? Through the decades, as my music went out of print, and of course, if you don't have hit records... By the way, when I cry the blues here, it's not a unique story. I'm speaking for every musician that never had a giant hit record,
right.
Basically.
Right.
So there's a lot of us. So then you realize your music's out of print, and I thought, well, on their books, I owe them money. So I called and say, look, it's $1.25 to make a CD. Let me give you $5 a CD, maybe print 1,000 of records that are extinct so I can get some, sell them at my website, which
right.
I've had, nilslofgren.com, for 20 years. And surprisingly, they always said no. It's kind of like it's too small potatoes, too much work for our giant machine. And I was like, but the bottom line is you're getting money back. I owe you. And the answer was still no. So I long accepted that. I talked to a lawyer about a right-to-work clause and said, look, you signed a bad deal. If they want you to be extinct, it's their prerogative. So I got used to it, not happy about it, carry on, always focused on the future. And the mid-90s, I got off my last record deal, and I got a website thanks to technology. And I just do what I want and share it at my website. It's grassroots, but it's the same creative freedom I've always had and got spoiled with thanks to Neil Young, David Briggs, Grin, et cetera, my whole career. And it was Fantasy Concord Records, Gene Rumsey, the president at the time, and Tom Cartwright, the A&R guy who I'd worked with many years, approached me in New York. I was on tour with the East Street Band. And they were the ones who came to me, wanted to have a lunch meeting to talk about a box set. And I was like, what the hell are they thinking? And shockingly, they wanted to go back through 45 years, all the messy deals with five old companies,
whoa,
tapes lost, deals lost, and get all the music and put it in a box set. And then I realized they were serious about it. They said, well, you know, one of the hooks would be bonus tracks. So I put together two CDs of basement tapes, outtakes, great demos I never got to share that I thought would qualify as great stuff. They really loved it, and we got serious about it. And early on, they decided, look, if you want to fill up 10 discs, we'll do it and really have it be thorough. So there's probably 300 or 400 songs that I pared down to 169. And, you know, Sky, just like in the old days, my goal was if I'm going to get out of my chair and skip the record on the turntable, skip the track or two, then I should leave it off. Doesn't mean it's bad. Doesn't mean someone else wishes it was on my box set. But I wanted to put together, God, it's probably 12 hours of 45 years of music that would play front to back that I could go, you know, that still feels good and special. And that's what I did, and they gave me the freedom to do it.
All right, Neil Slofkin here. This song is one of my favorites from the Crooked Line record and featured on my box set, Face the Music. Had a nice trip out to San Francisco to the great Neil Young's ranch, who was kind enough to sing harmony and play a beautiful harp solo on this by myself today, but I'll sing the song for you. It's called You. Ah, you wake me with the gentlest touch when you kiss me. Oh, I feel I must have you. You have everything I need, except a burning love for me. When I first saw you that day, I had to ask you stay. We talked and drank too much, then our hearts softly touched. Now in us I do believe, love and hell I've been deceived. Ah, you come down like early rain, and you wash away my every pain. And you have everything I need, except a burning love for me. We've had this for a while, and when we make love, you always smile. Still, there's a distance I can't close. I'm in deeper, and it shows.
I was lucky to grow up in a time where if you were getting good reviews and you were doing good shows, back then what I loved, because all we did was play, and there was no video or, you know, for rock, really choreography to speak of. It was just, you know, dance around, play what you feel, and try to communicate something to an audience. So we loved to play. We'd get tour support. It was charged against us. We didn't care. We were kids. We just wanted to play. And we got to play a lot and everywhere. And they would, you know, go, well, we didn't have a hit record, but you guys are good and you're getting better. Let's make another album. And, of course, fast forward to today, you might get a second record if you don't have a big hit. And certainly you're not going to make two records without a hit and right. Still have a record deal. So it's very disposable now. And I was blessed to come up at a time, looking back at this, where it's an amazing amount of recorded work without that big hit, which today is a requisite for any kind of longevity.
You talk about live performances, and you talked about choreography. Your live shows, you were a trained gymnast, and I'm pretty sure people can go online and find clips of this. You used to, in your stage shows, and we talked about it before we went on air today, you would utilize a trampoline, and you'd be doing 20-foot, you know, flips in the air while playing the guitar, scarves are flying, and continue to play right in midair as you're landing on the ground from 20-foot jumps. It was a spectacular show.
You know, it was interesting. It was a backflip off a mini tramp while I played on the guitar. And, of course, it's showbiz, so I'd end the set without the guitar and do a big flip layout. And then at the end of the encore, I'd do the flip with the guitar on while I was playing. Probably bad notes, but I was making a sound. Sometimes I'd hit the right note, but whatever. I went to my old gymnastic teacher in junior high, a guy down to the YMCA, Vern Elder, who used to teach like women's gymnastics for the Olympics. And I said, look, Vern, this is going to sound crazy, but I want to learn how to do a backflip while I'm playing a guitar. And he put me in the ceiling belts, and he helped me learn it. And it was, I've been very animated for probably 40, you know, four of the 45 years. But initially, we'd open for big bands, and I was kind of shy, and I'd stand there and play. And it was really Jay Giles, who was so great. And we would, like, you know, watch him, and Peter Wolf, who's still a friend, right, and sits in with the E Street Band, he was just all over the place. And I'm, like, looking at him going, what the hell can I do? Because I'm too shy right now. I'm too serious, but I can't fake it. And that's where I got this crazy idea, like, well, I'll do the flip. So it's funny. I just learned it and decided to put it in the show. And we went down to Florida, opening in Tampa for Jay Giles' band. It was like, you know, 8,000 crazy college kids just screaming at us. We got a half hour set. And, you know, the promoter's like, look, don't play a second over a half hour. You'll never work in Florida again, kid. Like, geez, man, we get it. We can count. And we did our little half-hour set, and they booed us, and, you know, they threw bottles and said, Jay Giles, get off. They didn't want to even right. give us energy to see if we were good. And at the end of it, I do the flip, and we leave the stage. They go crazy and give us a standing ovation. Now the promoter, we're just laughing about it. The promoter comes rushing in. You've got to go back on. I said, what are you talking about? They booed us. I said, no, you don't understand that flip. They lost their minds. They're throwing chairs. They're going to wreck my building if you don't do an encore. So, no, I got to work in Florida. I can't do an encore. He said, look, man, you'll work in Florida, please. And it was so bizarre, after being booed for half an hour, to walk out to screaming adulation and do a song where they actually listened and clapped for us. And I thought, welcome to show business, Nils.
Hey, Nils Lofgren here with one of my favorite co-writes with the great Lou Reed. Sad that we lost Lou recently, and he was kind enough to co-write 13 songs with me years ago. This is one of my favorites from the box set we featured. Goes out to the great Lou Reed. It's called Life. Life's the only mother I know. Gypsy death and fortune are its motto. Chance and maturation are the father of gestation. The whole point of life's, I think, to grow. The whole point of life's, I think, to grow. Life's the only father I know. Wars, recessions, depressions I know. Savage taste of Hitler. Good wine's a tasting bitter. The only point of life's, I think, to grow. And basically, you're the only one I know. Scale down buildings, burning memories that make you sit up sick. Focus, tunnel vision only seems to make you sweat. Heck, maybe you're the only one I know. Little kids are playing stickball in the street. Memories that make you sit up sick. Sitting, thinking, trying to make things neat and complete. It doesn't work, I know. Jed's in Santa Barbara, I know. Sally's in Chicago with the band. Richard's in L.A., and I'm feeling well, and I guess I don't know anything at all. Baby, you're the only one I know. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. Pa-da-da-da-da-da. Life's the only mother I know. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Life's the only father I know. Life's the only mother I know.
As early as, I mean, I'm coming up in the late 60s. You already hear about all the good bands. And, of course, up in Jersey is Steel Mill, Bruce Springsteen. I'm not really following them, but I'm hearing about them. We're all in the same clubs and circuits, teen centers, colleges. And in 1970, Bill Graham has an audition night at the Fillmore West. Once a month, 20 bands play, 20 minutes each, try to get an opening act slot. The locals pay $2, beer's a dollar, whatever. And Steel Mill was there, and my band Gwyn was there. And I started paying a little more attention to Bruce. He was really good. And through the 70s, I, you know, see him at the Bottom Line, buy tickets, and just remained a fan of the band through the years. And it was just kind of a distant friendship, admiration. I'd go backstage, say hello. I saw him as a very serious, dedicated person who kept getting really, really good. And so I moved out, you know, 68, I went out to L.A. He worked there a lot. I'd see him at the Sunset Marquee before it got to be a hot spot with the whiskey bar. It was just nobody knew about it, and it was nice because he had a kitchenette and a pool. And right down the road from Barney's Beanery, where I used to play video games and drink a lot and try to write songs or whatever. But we maintained a distant friendship, and I'd always go see him play when I could. Always was a big admirer. And in the early 80s, for the first time, I couldn't get a record deal. I was a little freaked out. I talked to him on the phone. I said, hey, come up to Jersey. And we went and played and jammed in bands. Again, just supportive, kind of the same age, doing the same thing. And through the years, I'd always, you know, early on, I talked about at 18, I discovered playing with Neil Young. That, you know, if you love the people and the music, I love being in a great band and not always being the leader. And he kind of filed that away. And we'd have visits, and that would come up once in a while between Neil. And in 84, when Steve decided to go solo, he called me again and said, hey, you know, I'd been up kind of having a little blues session with him and hung out for a weekend with him. He just made Born in the USA. We listened to it all weekend long. I was, like, blown away with a beautiful record. But he said, hey, why don't you come up again, and, you know, maybe I'll get the band together. We'll jam a little bit. He's very low-key, but I'm like, wait a minute. He's not going to get the band together unless he needs a guitar player. And I didn't bust him or ask him because he's very private like that, but I took it as what it was. I got a local bootlegger, a good buddy, Tom Beach, who doesn't sell the stuff. He collects it and came over with a lot of bootleg E Street. And I wrote chord charts to songs like Promised Land, Prove It All Night, Badlands, stuff he'd have to play.
Right.
So we spent 2 days jamming. And, you know, Gary or somebody didn't have to yell chords in my ear. And we just played. And after 2 days, it felt great. And to my amazement, said, hey, I talked to everyone. Sounds great. You want to join the E Street Band? I'm like, you mean like right now? He said, right now. Like, go home, pack, come up, and start getting ready for a tour. Which, unfortunately, him and Steve didn't figure this out till a month before opening night. So it was like, oh, my God. It was a little bit deer in the headlights. But, look, I love playing live more than anybody, as much as anybody. And I thought, well, if it feels right, nobody better than me to be in a live band because that's what I'm best at. And bang, off to the races. I got to 30 years ago, joined the E Street Band.
Hey, Nils Lofgren here. One of the first songs I ever wrote for my band Gwyn, back in my mom and dad's old house in Bethesda, Maryland. Somehow at a young age, I caught a pretty good one. It's still one of my favorites I play to this day. It's called Like Rain. I saw you last morning, I cried my sins out. You were rain and I washed away. I meet the kind of friends that always seem to end. And I laugh when I start to say, God, I love you like rain, darling. You're always falling, just to pass my way. I wander like the clouds when it comes to loving. This lonely heart sure ain't nothing new.
I was told by a wise man in my soul, she's gonna always stop loving you. Oh, I love her in the morning, she leaves me in the evening. I'm just crying till two. Hear me cry. She's got a hold on me. Don't think she's ever gonna let me be. I'm just crying in the morning light. It'd be better if she weren't so downright and it rains. Yes, it rains. Oh. I've got to run now, I see the clouds are rolling. I'm afraid it's gonna start to rain. When I fall sleeping, I dream of good things, but I always wake up the same. God, I love you like rain, darling. You're always falling just to pass my way. I meet the kind of friends that always end. I meet the kind of friends that always end. I meet the kind of friend that always end. I meet the kind of friend that always end. And I laugh when I start to say.
Tomorrow night you're going to do a session similar to this today as part of the Grammy Museum session. And that's sold out, so the fortunate few that are going to get to go see that are going to get to hear and see, I'm sure, an even expanded version of the conversation and performance we're having today. And as I said to you earlier, now my mission is to get you back into L.A. to play a club show that we can promote and present because, you know
Sky,
we want the people to see.
I am going to finally, after 3 years, of course, I've been busy with the E Street, so I'm not musically rusty at all. End of September 26th and 28th, I'm at the Hard Rock in Vegas, and October 3rd at the Talking Stick in Scottsdale, Arizona, October 4th at the Fox Theater in Tucson. So I'm easing back into doing my own shows, and that'll include coming to L.A., I hope, and everywhere else. And it's exciting because I've had this break from it, so I'm refreshed about what's the next record I'm going to make, how can I make my next shows even more powerful, and to have this box set to document the best of 45 years of hard work in the studios is just a big relief for me and a weight off my shoulders that I just accepted had to be there. And it's gone now, thanks to, you know, and your help for Sharon and all along singing my praises, even though I didn't have the big hit record. And I'm grateful for that, and I appreciate it.
Well, it's well deserved. It's been a long, long friendship and in my case, fandom, and a well-deserved one. Face the Music is the new box set. It's Nils Lofgren, 9 CDs, 1 DVD. If you are a fan, if you are a true believer in rock and roll, it is definitely worth the investment. 12 hours worth of pure devotion to rock and roll from this man, Nils Lofgren, live on KCSN.
Thanks, Scott.